I remember a few years ago meeting an old priest friend and mentor, Father Chris Hellstrom, and just chatting with him for a bit, and he asked me, well, how are you doing? I remember just kind of saying, sometimes I just feel like I'm beginning again, you know, that I'm just beginning again, that I need to enter again and again more deeply into faith and into what the Lord's calling me to and into His grace. And I remember he just kind of smiled, nodded knowingly. He's like, we're all always beginning again. There's this always freshness and goodness of the Lord and His grace that we have to keep going back to, keep entering into what we feel like is a beginning, but is really a beginning of a deeper level of His work in our lives. And the way to do that, one very important way, is to really know the gift of God that we have been given. As Jesus tells the Samaritan woman, if you knew the gift of God. And I think that can be an important kind of motto or watchword for us, because often maybe we get distracted or we get oppressed by our concerns and our worries or our estimation of ourselves instead of keeping our eyes focused on Christ. And so again and again, maybe we have to say to ourselves, if you knew the gift of God, for indeed he gives that, indeed we have received that and we need to keep entering into that. What is this great gift of God that Jesus speaks to the Samaritan woman about and that indeed he has given us? I think it's so important to know that so we can keep coming back to that in its ever freshness to refreshen ourselves. The Samaritan woman in our gospel goes through this kind of progressive growing and understanding what this gift of God is, which is just a hallmark of the Gospel of John. All kinds of figures, from the disciples themselves to Nicodemus to others, they kind of start with a very limited, superficial understanding, and then Jesus guides them into the depths so that they can really receive the gift. And so for the Samaritan woman, it's the same thing. First, she thinks he's just talking about he's got some superior source of drinking water. You know, it's like, well, great, okay. You know, how could that compare with Jacob's well? You know, but then she thinks, well, maybe he's got some kind of better water that will just slake her natural thirst, saying, well, sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water. So she's still thinking about just kind of her needs in this world, her physical needs, things like that. Also probably that the embarrassment and things like that. And so Jesus then has to provoke her and provokes her to get in touch with what is that deeper thirst in her life by pointing out really the disastrous and unsatisfying string of husbands she's had. And now she's with this man, you know, and he's pointing and helping her and provoking her to see that something deeper is missing in her life. And so then she recognizes this power of insight that he has into her life, that somehow he must indeed be some kind of prophet. So she goes to the big theology question for the Samaritans. Well, if you're a prophet, let's hear what you have to say about this, you know. And so she asks about, you know, where are we to worship? But Jesus doesn't want to just talk about the Samaritan versus Jew debate, because the Samaritans reject the temple in Jerusalem. He again wants to take her even deeper than just kind of theological propositions. Instead, he invites her to encounter the reality of God and His life and His grace itself, to receive the true gift of God, the living water of the Holy Spirit, and all that means for a soul. And so Jesus speaks about this, encounter that he himself is ushering in this new reality, this ultimate encounter with God, saying the hour is coming and is now here. And he describes it kind of in the key she understands. True worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And so what Jesus is ushering in is not a new place of worship like Jerusalem or the Samaritans' Mount Gerizim, but instead rather a new kind of worship, a new kind of being in relationship with the Lord, a new kind of worship in spirit and truth. Now, one really important thing for us to understand is that in spirit does not mean like in opposition to who we are physically and to our physical worship we have in the sacraments, because the spirit takes up material things to bring them into relationship with God. That's the nature of sacraments, which are both of this world, but then taken up by the Spirit. We see the Spirit working like that all the time, from the very beginning, how Adam, you know, it's breathed into Adam, the Spirit, to make him this glorious creature in the image and likeness of God. We see how from Mary, you know, human nature is taken by the Spirit so that the Son of God enters the world, true God and true man. And so the Spirit takes up the things of this world to bring them closer to God. And that's really the nature of the sacraments. And so at Mass, we have, for example, the Epiclesis, where we call upon the Holy Spirit to take these gifts that God Himself has given us, and we bring to the altar and then make them into the body and blood of Christ at the words of consecration. And so spirit is this reality, how the spirit is what moves and guides and empowers our worship. And then truth according to the true revelation of Jesus Christ. And things like how he said at the Last Supper, do this in memory of me, the truth of what he has called us to. And so Jesus is ushering in this new kind of worship. But there's also a new kind of worshiper as well, worshiping the Father, not just simply God, this ultimate being, this simply a creator, but now God who is Father, and we're turned as a worshiper of Him with Jesus to God the Father as children of God, no longer just simply great creatures, you know, in creation, but now sons and daughters of the Father in Christ by the power of the Spirit. So new worshipers to go along with that new worship, and all that is only possible for those who are born of the Spirit, who have received those living waters. We know that comes and is given in baptism, which Jesus Himself commanded. And so Jesus is offering all of this to her. This incredible reality, which maybe at that moment she only has any like slight glimmer and sense of, the understanding that will have to grow in her life. But then most of all, and very importantly, he's offering himself to her. What you're really seeking, who you're really seeking, what you've been hoping for, I am he. He is the one that she had always sought, maybe unknowingly or only obscurely. He is the one who fills that deepest desire to be alive, to be loved, to love. And then amazingly, not only does Jesus give himself to her as this great gift, but the Father is seeking her out. He's seeking the ones to be in this relationship with Jesus and to worship in spirit and truth. And so she takes a drink of faith, of this gift, moved by the Spirit. And it says, the woman left her water jar and went into town. No longer concerned about just this physical water and her physical situation in the world, she's instead tasted that true living water, and now with Christ can begin again. And so this encounter gave her far more than just a practical source of water, you know, a new water system or something like that, but instead she receives the gift of God. This gift of God, which is a new understanding of herself, no longer defined by her disastrous past and all the burden of that, but now defined by the water and grace of the Holy Spirit. Now, what matters most is now what God is doing in her life and what God is leading her into with the power of the Holy Spirit. So a new understanding of what she's really about. It's also a new relationship to God. You know, in Christ, she is a daughter loved and even sought by the Father who seeks her out. And a new meaning to life given to her now by God. You know, to live and to share this living water of grace given by Christ. And so off she goes to her village to proclaim this incredible reality. Come meet this one who has reached in the very depths of my misery and hopes and desire and gives me new life, a new beginning. And so, my brothers and sisters, how much we need to again and again apply this to ourselves. If you knew the gift of God, again and again, take the drink of faith and keep drinking. You know, I'm sure that Samaritan woman, after this incredible encounter and after the time Jesus stayed with them for a few days, you know, throughout the rest of her life, and maybe later on when Philip would come evangelizing the Samaritans and she'd probably get involved in that, but the ups and downs of life, how often she must have thought back to that incredible moment of being at the well and meeting the Messiah, meeting indeed the one who has become her life. How much we need to do that as well, and not to forget about that most decisive reality of our lives, again and again, coming to meet Jesus, taking that drink of faith and receiving always more deeply the Holy Spirit, as again and again we begin in that newness of life that He gives us. We're all invited to keep moving from our limited understanding of the gift of God and what He is accomplishing, and to encounter that deeper supernatural reality, this reality of the gift of God, to again and again drink that good news, how tremendous that is. And so this gift is something to be revealed and unpacked and shared. And we receive that again and again in the Word of God and in our worship and our sacraments. And it helps us then to again and again, despite the world's narrative, despite my own interior narrative sometimes, understand who I am and who I can become by God's grace of the Holy Spirit given to us by the Messiah, by Christ. To again and again remember that deeper relationship to God, not just as a creature kind of scurrying along in His creation, but a child of the Father, a child of the Most High God with Jesus Christ. And then that greater meaning to life, not just simply what I can amount to in success in this world or what I can obtain or what people can think about me, but instead the greater meaning of living in Christ, my life can truly contribute to His mission of sharing and proclaiming this life-giving water. And so we can see this gift and how it happens in my life through, with, and in Jesus Christ. We receive again and again this gift. And then in our worship, so beautifully, at the end of the Eucharistic prayer, having received that gift again and again, we turn and we praise the Father in spirit and truth, saying, through Him and with Him and in Him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. Amen.